old trouble and trial and toils over with, you got a better place to go. You better thank God tonight. Amen. We need to be thankful to the Lord God Almighty. Yep. Hey, folks, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There ain't but one way. Amen. There's only one way you can escape the eternal damnation of hell. That's placing your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not your works. It's not water baptism. It's not your church membership. Nothing you can do can gain you entrance into heaven except for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says one day every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can do it on this side or you're going to do it on the other side.
Amen. Yep.
I'd advise you do it on this side.
Amen.
Well, brother, I don't. You just pray and ask the Lord to help you. If you don't believe, you ask the Lord with a true heart to help you believe.
Yes,
I believe it will.
Yep.
Luke chapter 22 tonight. Luke chapter 22. We'll preach about Satan's sifter tonight. Satan will eat you up, spit you out, you let him. That's what he wants. That's what he wants, to destroy you and your life and your family. And everything you know and love, that's what he wants. He wants to destroy it. Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Brother Ronnie Wayne, would you pray for us?
Lord, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for letting us come back to your house tonight. God, thank you for our church family.
Yes,
Lord, thank you for the man of God, Lord, you put behind the pulpit tonight. God, I pray that you touch his mind, his lips, and Lord, the word that he's studied, meditated on. And God, I pray that you give us the message tonight. Lord, you to apply it to our life. Help us, Lord, to live according to your word. Lord, thank you again for allowing us to be here. Thank you for dying for us and saving us. Lord, I pray that you forgive us, Lord, we
failed
you. In Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. And behold, the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Can't you hear? Simon, Simon. Brooks, Brooks. Brother Chris, brother James, brother, his sister, whoever else. Simon, Simon. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you. You know, you might not think much of yourself, but Satan thinks enough of you that he wants you.
Yep, you're right.
Don't matter how small you are. It doesn't matter how big you are. You can have everything in this world. You can have nothing in this world.
Come on.
You can be a little child. He wants you. You can be a middle-aged, be an adult, be a mother, a father. He wants you. You can be a teenager. He wants you. You can be an older person. And pretty much lived your life here on earth. But guess what? Satan still wants you.
Amen.
Satan thinks enough of you that he wants you. But he doesn't want you for the good.
Amen.
The Lord God Almighty wants you for the good.
Amen.
Satan wants you for the bad.
Amen.
You know, he came, the Bible says, to kill, steal, and destroy what the Bible says. Satan wants you dead. He wants you dead, but before you're dead, he wants to steal everything you have, destroy everything that you love, destroy everything that's dear to you. He wants to see your life in a complete shambles before you die. That's what Satan wants. He's a liar. He's a liar and the father of it, the Bible says. Every lie that's ever been told, Satan was involved in it. Every lie you've ever told, Satan's been involved in it. He wants you dead. He wants you destroyed. And he will lie to you to get his means accomplished.
Amen.
He uses your flesh. He uses this old world. The things in this old world look so shiny and look so good. And you see the people in the magazines and on the billboards and on the television have all these things in the world. They have it all. It just looks so good. If I could just get that.
Yeah.
If I could just have that, I'd be satisfied. If I could just get this, I'd be satisfied. I tell you, Satan is a liar. And the father of it. Father of all lies.
Amen.
And he desires to have you. Now he'll fill your hearts with lies. He'll fill your heart with lies. Well, not my heart. According to the Bible, he will. Turn to Acts chapter 5 with me. Acts chapter 5. Let's see about Satan filling somebody's heart with lies. Because that's what he is. He's a stinking liar. He's a low-down snake. He ain't good for nothing. He's a liar. He wants you dead. He wants you destroyed. He wants your children destroyed. He wants your marriage destroyed. He wants your church destroyed. He wants your home destroyed. I tell you, he's a liar. And I hate him. Acts chapter 5. Look at verse number 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Who filled a man's heart with lies to the Holy Ghost? According to the Bible, Satan is. Ain't that right? Amen. Satan will fill your hearts with lies. And to keep back part of the price of the land, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? You see that? Satan filled his heart with lies. Then that old wretched heart of his just took on over. There ain't nothing in this world more deceitful than the heart of man. Your heart, my heart, saved or lost. If you let your flesh run, I tell you, your heart will come up with the most evil, wickedest things you've ever seen in your life. You'll find yourself on the outside looking in where you were serving God and loving God and in God's house and working for God and had the peace of God. You'll find yourself out in this old world and you won't have nothing if you let Satan fill your hearts with lies.
Amen.
He's a liar. Now, the man of God will get up and preach week after week after week and plant that seed in your heart. That old Satan, he'll come by. And before it takes time, before it can root, he'll come by and he'll take that old seed away, what the Bible says. Lord, pricking at your heart and touching your heart. And you know you ain't right. You know something's not right in your life. You know you're lost, never been born again. And God just pricking your heart, and you're kicking against the pricks.
Yeah.
And he's pricking your heart, and he's pricking your heart. And old Satan, the whole time, he's just throwing things at you, bombarding you with things, giving you things to please your flesh, the things of this world, drawing you away. And the whole time, God dealing with your heart, and you know that you need to be saved. Now, what kind of lies he'll tell you to get you out of conviction, to get you out of God's house? He'll tell you, well, you okay? You ain't no worse than anybody else.
Right.
You know what? He's right.
Yeah.
Bible says all have sinned and come short of glory of God.
Amen.
And all need to be saved.
Amen.
Don't you let him lie to you and tell you you're good enough. Don't you let him lie to you and tell you you're good as anybody else, as that's enough. That if you just be good and continue to be good and live a good life and help people, that you'll make heaven your home. That's a lie. The Bible says you must be born again, what the Bible says. You know what he'll tell you? You know what lie he'll place in your heart? That I believe in God, so that's enough. You believe there is one God, the devils in hell believe also and tremble. That's what the Bible says, James 2 and 19. It ain't enough to believe in God. Them Muslims believe in some kind of God. Them Mormons believe in some kind of God. You must believe in Jehovah God and his Son, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you better believe in. Don't you let Satan feed your heart that lie that you believe in God. The whole world believes in some kind of a God. There's only one true and living God.
Amen.
And his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that came to bleed and die and give his life a ransom for all, the Bible says. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The whole world.
Thank God.
Amen. You know what he'll tell you? He's a stink. Did I tell you he's a liar? He's a liar. He'll tell you, well, that preacher's just a man like everybody else. That's what he'll tell you. And preachers get up there and preach, and the pastor every week up there preaching. They man just like everybody else. And them young boys up there preaching, they just young boys. What I got to listen to them for? Let me tell you what the Bible says about that. Turn to John chapter 12 with me. If these men are on this pulpit opening this King James Bible, John chapter 12, and preaching you this word, and you know what it is, It's the Word of God. That's what it is.
Amen.
I don't care if they're 6 or 66. I don't care what they look like. If they're opening this Bible and preaching you the Word of God, you better take heed before it's everlasting too late.
Amen.
John chapter 12 and verse number 48. The Bible says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words," Jesus, "hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." It's not a man up here preaching you. It is. He's a man just like you. But this what he's preaching ain't from man.
Amen.
It's King James Bible these men preach up here. It ain't from man. It's from God, inspired of God, the very words of God. It's a perfect book. It's God's words to a sinful man. And if a man's in this pulpit preaching, you need to take heed. Now, we know that dispensationally, in our dispensation, once a man's been saved, he can't be lost again. It's eternal security. And I thank God for that.
Yeah,
I'm like Brother Jeff Davis. I couldn't keep myself saved 5 minutes. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that thou shalt believe, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, he shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made of salvation." If you're saved, that's it. It's done. It's over with. Jesus Christ paid the price. When he hung on that cross, and it is finished. That's just exactly what it was. It was finished. The price was paid. God raised him on the third day, and whosoever will believe in him and place their faith and trust in him shall be saved. That's our dispensation. But if you're lost, Satan will fill your heart. He'll put things in front of your eyes in your path. He'll do everything he can to keep you from getting saved.
Amen.
He's a liar. "But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." See what that says? It blinded their minds. Their minds. That's how you can sit in a service and hear the man of God preach, and Satan's blinded your mind. It don't make any sense. It's mumbo jumbo to you. You think you know too much.
Yep.
Got too much knowledge. What I won't listen to him? Oh, he don't even talk right. What I won't listen to him for? He works down at the plant with me. What I won't listen to him for? Satan's a liar. Satan will fill your heart with lies. He will blind your mind and cause you to reject Christ and go to a devil's hell, a place that wasn't even prepared for you. The Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't even prepared for you. If you go to hell, you're going to be an outsider. It wasn't made for you. Turn back to Luke 22 with me. So we see that Satan is a stinking liar. He will lie to you. He wants you dead. He wants you destroyed. And he wants to blind your mind, that the glorious gospel of Christ wouldn't shine unto you. I tell you, if you're sitting here tonight and you've never been saved, if something's pricking on your heart, that's God. If you're hearing this gospel preach, and something's telling you that something ain't right in your life, my heart ain't right, I've heard, I put it off. Don't you put it off another night. You're not guaranteed another day.
Amen.
The Bible says we're not guaranteed one more minute. The Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Preach it, bro.
Luke 22, verse number 31, again. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, I got thinking about the wheat. That's kind of like you and I. The wheat is. Now, you take a wheat seed, and these farmers plant in the fall or in the winter, and they plant that seed, and God gives that seed life. He causes that seed to grow. That's why you and I are. He placed the life that we have. God placed that inside of us. He used our mother and father, but that life comes from God Almighty. He alone can give life. He is the life giver. He alone. So you take that seed and you plant it in the ground, and God gives it life, and He gave you and I life. And that old wheat, you ain't got to tell that wheat how to grow, do you? It just grows, don't it? God put that inside that wheat and just grows. You ain't got to tell your youngin' how to grow. You feed that youngin', you get that youngin' something to drink, and you make sure he gets to sleep, and the youngin's going to grow. That's just what they're going to do. They're going to grow. No one has to tell us how to grow. And it grows up. And that wheat, it grows up, and they're all just alike. You've seen old wheat field? It's coming up now. Some of it's about that tall, and it's green, man. It's beautiful. All looks like. That's the way you and I are. We grow up and we're all just alike. Well, what do you mean? We different sizes, different colors. Every one of us is a sinner. No one has to tell you how to sin. No one has to tell that wheat how to grow. And that wheat all looks the same. And it's out there and it's swaying in the breeze. That's why John the Baptist was different. He said, would you come out here to see a reed shaking in the wind? You ever see some reeds on a pond and the wind blowing? They all go the same way, ain't they? And the wind switched back. Not John the Baptist. When the reeds was going that way, he was going that way, man. He was different.
Yeah.
He was different. Amen. But there we are, just like that wheat. God's given us life. We all grow up. And we're all sinners, every one of us. And then comes time for the wheat to ripen. You know what that wheat's doing? It's dying. That's what the wheat's doing. It's fulfilled its purpose. It served its purpose. And the wheat ripens and it dies. And we're all, if the Lord tarries, we're all going to die.
Amen.
It is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. If the Lord does not come back and take his church, we're all going to grow older and we're going to die. For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, what the Bible says. Sin will kill you spiritually. Sin will kill you physically. Look at James chapter 1 with me. Flip over to James chapter 1. Talking about the life cycle. Things just coming to pass. The way things are. God places the life inside of us and we're raised up and we'll grow up. But every one of us apart from Jesus Christ is a sinner. And every one of us needs to be saved. Needs to be born again by the grace of God. James chapter 1 verse number 13. The Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now here's the cycle right here. But every man when he is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust. So it's our own lust, our sinful flesh. That's just what we know how to do, naturally. Is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, that's the second part of it. That's our life cycle. We conceive that sin. We learn when we're little and learn how to sin and learn how to sin. And when we're full grown, it's conceived, man. That's what we are. We're full blown, no good, world loving, God hating sinners is what we are.
Amen. Come on, bro.
Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I tell you, I don't care how good a person you are. I don't care what kind of morals you possess. You may live an upstanding life in the community and be an upstanding person. If you've never been born again, you are a sinner. And when that sin is finished, you are going to die. And if you die without Jesus Christ, hell will be your home until it's called up and cast into the lake of fire. That's just Bible. That's just Bible. There's only one way to escape that. The Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Luke 22. But the Lord said, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat. Sift means to separate. That's what you do when you sift something. They used to sift that wheat, separate it in the old days, and they'd take it and they'd throw it up in the air, and the wheat would fall down. That old chaff, that no good stuff would be blown away. And that's how they separated the wheat from the chaff. And we sift stuff also. Any of you ladies ever do any baking, baked biscuits? I expect you probably sift. I seen my mama do it. I seen my wife do it. They'll pour the top back in that old flour jug and they'll run that sifter in there. And you know what? I look in there and, man, all that flour looks good to me. I'm thinking, just throw it in there, man. Flour looks good. It's white. It's fluffy. I can remember my mama, she'd shake that thing a little bit and then she wouldn't turn the handle all the way. Oh, she'd just go back and forth like that. I don't know, but them biscuits was good. So she'd go back and forth and she'd shake it and sift it. And when she got finished, she could look down in that sifter. There'd be little lumps and knots. Lord, hell. Now, I didn't see that in there. It's been sifted, hadn't it? It's been sifted. And you know what? The Bible says that one day Jesus Christ is going to come back and gather his own. Turn over to Matthew chapter 3 with me. I want to use this for an example. Matthew chapter 3. Satan's sifter. Satan wants to sift you. But you know what? He wants to sift you for the bad. He wants to see you dead. He wants to see you destroyed. He doesn't want you around God's people. He don't want you around God's house. He don't want you to be saved. He don't want you around God's book. He wants to sift you and separate you unto himself. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11. Bible says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into his garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now we know this is speaking not of the rapture, but of the end time, the end of the tribulation period. But you know what? When Jesus Christ comes back at the rapture, he's going to take his wheat into his barn. All those that have been born again by the grace of God, the chaff, the unsaved, the lost, they're not going. He's going to take his children home to be with him. At the end of tribulation, he's going to take his wheat out and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I tell you, it's a biblical principle that God's people go home to be with God, and the lost, the unsaved, those who have rejected Jesus Christ will burn with unquenchable fire.
Amen.
Satan has desire to sift you. He wants you out of the wheat. He wants to put you in his sifter. He wants you out of the wheat. You know what he'll use? Any means necessary.
Amen.
I can't believe someone so said that to me. I don't hardly know if I can go back down there after they said that. I can't believe that preacher preached that. I just don't know if I want to go back. That's just so far out of bounds. I don't know if I can go back down there with those people.
Yeah, right.
That's what Satan wants.
Right.
He don't want you around God's people. That's the last thing in the world he wants is you sitting here tonight hearing this King James Bible preach. That's the last thing in the world Satan wants.
Amen.
Because this is what will change your life.
Amen.
This is what will change your heart. This is what will change where you are going to spend eternity. Not your looks, not your money, not your possessions, not your good works. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing Amen. That can change your eternity from a hot, fiery hell to a sweet heaven to be with our Lord and Savior forever and ever.
Yep.
That's it. Satan wants you sifted out of the wheat. He don't want you in the church house. He don't want you in prayer. Lord help, he don't want you in prayer. There's strength in prayer. There's strength in prayer. There's comfort in prayer. There's guidance in prayer. He don't want you in your Bible. Lord help, he don't want you in your Bible. When you read this Bible, you're going to have to do something with it. If you read this Bible seeking with a true heart, you're going to have to do something with it, because this is what reveals our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to man. If you read God's holy word, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to make a decision to reject it, or you're going to make a decision to receive it and be saved. I'm talking about God's word. It's the only book in the world that's like that. I read some books. Thank God for them. I like them. They was good books. They ain't changed my life. They hadn't changed my heart. They hadn't led me to the one that can change my eternity, where I'm going to spend eternity.
Amen.
God's word is the only living book there ever has been. That's it. He don't want you with your parents. Lord, help them parents loved you and raised you up and taught you and led you and guided you, but you got a little bit of age on you now, and all of a sudden this thing just ain't working. I'm about ready. I'm about tired. The church house ain't as enjoyable to you as what it used to be. The fellowship ain't as enjoyable as what it used to be. All of a sudden now, the parents are all of a sudden right there with the bad ones because they just don't want me to do what I want to do. That's Satan lying in your heart, what that is.
Yeah.
That parents lays you for 18, 20, 25 years. Now all of a sudden you know more than they do. It's a lie. It's a lie of the devil what it is. He's filled your heart with lies. He wants to sift you. He wants you separated. He don't want you where you can get some help.
Amen.
He don't want where the people love you. He wants you out in this other world. The people don't love you. They don't love you not there and be in this world. You fall over there and they want none of them grieve for you.
Amen.
This world don't love you. Them people don't love you. These people here love you. Your mom and daddy love you. These preachers love you. These other people, they all love you. But Satan wants you sifted. He don't want you around there. He wants you sifting to himself. He don't want you with the wheat. You know what Satan wants you to do? Satan wants you to separate yourself. Turn to Jude with me. Jude's right before the book of Revelation. He wants you to separate yourself. And he'll lie to you and fill your hearts with things and show you foolishness and fill your hearts with lies, get you to separate yourself from God and from godly people. That's what he'll do.
Yeah.
Book of Jude, verse number 17. The Bible says in the book of Jude, verse number 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." You know, if you hear lost, never been saved, you've heard this gospel, you know what Satan will have you do? Mock it.
Yep.
Laugh at it. Love the things you got. Love the things of the world. Love your job. Love your money. Make fun of the man of God. Make fun of the people that live right. Make fun of people that try to make their children. That's what he wants. He would love to have you live after your own ungodly lust and mock the things of God and separate yourself. That's what he wants. He don't want you around God's people. He don't want you around. He'd love to have you mock and make fun and scoff and can't wait to get outside to talk about the man of God to preach, to talk about the people, to beat down all the foolish things that the man said, because everybody knows all these things can't come to pass. What is that Bible? All that don't make no sense to me. How could a man, a whale swallow a man and the man live? I heard somebody say that if the Bible says that the man swallowed the whale, he'd believe it.
Amen.
I'm talking about receiving things by faith is what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Heard a man one time, and one of these scoffers, these Bible scoffers was laughing at him, and he said that there ain't no way that God could have parted Red Sea from the people to cross, and where they crossed that was a marsh, and the water went but 6 inches deep. He said, "Well, praise God, that's a bigger miracle. God drowned a whole army 6 inches of water." Hey, look here, man, the Bible's true. This Bible's true. And you can mock at it, you can laugh at it, you can scoff at it, you can separate yourself, but you will give an account for yourself one day. Satan wants you separated. He wants you and his sifter to separate you from all the people that love you, from all the things, from God, from the things of God. That's what he wants. Turn back to Luke chapter 22 with me. But I got some good news. Luke 22, verse number 32. Somebody prayed for you. I ain't talking about mama. Mama probably prayed for you, thank God. I'm talking about daddy. Look at Luke 22 and 32. It's him speaking to Satan. It says, "But I have prayed for thee." The Lord Jesus prayed for Peter. Ain't that a blessing? He prayed for Peter. That's what he said. But Peter, I have prayed. Simon, Simon, I have prayed for thee. I tell you, based on the authority of the Word of God, the Lord's prayed for you also. John chapter 17. Turn over there quickly. John chapter 17. This is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, help yourself. This is the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord praying for His people. John chapter 17, verse number 20. Lord told Peter, He said, but I have prayed for thee. And I tell you, He has prayed for you also. Amen. The Lord God Almighty. Look at 17 and verse number 20. It says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Holy men of God, inspired of God, penned this book down. And all those that believe on it, on these words that they penned down, Jesus said, I pray for them also. Ain't that something?
Amen.
Before you was born, God knew you and He prayed for you. Before you come in this old sinful, filthy, wicked world, God knew you. When you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. The Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. If you're sitting here tonight and you're lost, that's what you are. You are ungodly. You do not have God living inside of you. There's not, the Holy Spirit of God is not inside you. He has not sealed your soul. You're not sealed until a day of redemption. But if you'll come to this altar and repent and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, I tell you, God will come and dwell inside of you.
Amen.
And you'll no longer be ungodly.
Amen.
Jesus prayed for us. Isn't that something? When I was out in this old filthy, stinking world doing what I was doing, living like I was living and going to places, God done prayed for me. Man, that's awesome, ain't it? That the God of this universe that made it all would take the time to pray for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, has prayed for you. Turn back to Luke with me, Luke 22. And knock some dust off your pages tonight, ain't you? Luke chapter 22. So we see that Jesus said He had prayed for them, but I have prayed for thee. Look back at verse number, Luke 22, verse 32 with me. It says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You know what kind of faith ain't going to fail? It ain't going to be your faith. Your faith will fail. It'll leave you laying flat on your face. That kind of faith will fail. But you know what? If you'll take that little bit of faith you got, that belief you got, and ask Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul, you know what He'll do? He'll give you His faith.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of faith that will not fail. That's the kind of faith that won't let you down in the tough times. That's the kind of faith that won't let you down when the baby's sick, or when mama's sick, or daddy's sick, or when you come home and you ain't got no job to provide for your family no more, or you got the bad doctor's report. That's the kind of faith that won't let you down, the faith of God. Galatians 2 and 20. Let me read it right quick. Quote it by me made a mess. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It don't say we live it by faith in the Son of God. That's our faith. Thank God you placed your faith in Jesus. But after that point, you live your faith by the faith of the Son of God. He gives you His faith, that saving faith, that complete faith, that strong faith, the faith that won't let you down. That faith that won't get weak and shaken. That faith that won't give up on you. Jesus told Simon, I said, pray for thee that thy faith fail not. Amen. Thank God for the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
We couldn't keep ourselves saved, folks.
Amen.
Then people believe they got to do a certain amount, and they got to do a certain thing, and they got to go a certain amount, and or else they're going to lose their salvation. I don't understand how they go on. But we're not of those. Jesus cannot fail. I don't know if we understand that sometimes. We look at people and the way they fall and the way they stumble and things go wrong and they fall out and life's getting a mess. Jesus hadn't failed. That person may have failed, but Jesus hadn't failed. And if they're saved, one day they're going to be changed. They're going to be glorified. They're going to go home to heaven, and they'll never make a mess again. They're going to stand at that judgment seat of Christ. You know how much God loves you? That you ain't going to have to carry all your baggage and your no good works and dead works into eternity. Judgment seat of Christ is going to be a terrible thing for some people. They're going to stand before God, and their works are going to be tried what sort it is. And if it's not a spiritual sort of fish flesh, it's going to be all burned up. But then, we're going to go on to eternity. You're not having any of that dead baggage, all those mistakes we made, that mess we made. God loves you enough to burn them all up so you don't have to haul them around. Jesus cannot fail. And he will give eternal life to as many as believe. Luke 22, verse 32. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted. You see that? Converted means to change. Something changed. If you've never been saved, you have not been converted. You may have changed your style of dress. You may have changed the places you go. You may have changed what you do with your money. You may have changed many a thing, but if you've never been saved, you have never been converted. I'm talking about being born again. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Well, how am I going to strengthen the brethren? You know what I know? Ain't no nothing in this world strengthen the brethren like seeing somebody lost give their heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing in this world would please these people in here anymore and strengthen them than to see you walk down this aisle because you know you're lost and God's been dealing with your heart. See you walk this aisle, kneel at this altar, and have someone take a Bible and open that Bible and show you how to be saved that you might be converted. You're talking about strengthening the brethren. So I ask you tonight, have you ever been born again? Don't you let Satan lie to you. He wants to put you in a sifter and sift you and get you away from everything of God, get you away from everything God, and get you away from every person that wants to help you and lead you to the Lord and help you live a godly life and help you be converted and show you how to be converted. He wants to sift you and get you away from all that. I tell you, he's a liar and the father of all lies. Amen. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. There's only one way. You must be born again. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Won't you come tonight?